Brother Wallace Holmes has got a latest.
Our church, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this evening that we could come together to do the work of your community. Father, we ask that you guide and direct these officials that they may make the right decisions that will encourage our community to grow and become stronger in every aspect. Heavenly Father, bless each family here tonight who might go out to serve and please you. In the name of Jesus Christ's name, we help you pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We welcome everyone. This is a workshop, and as you probably know, we do not vote during a workshop, but if there's anything that needs to be voted on, it will be put on a future agenda. Number three, the board to discuss emergency medical services contract with Doctors Memorial BMH representatives.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Pat Mulberry. I'm vice chair of the board at Doctors Memorial. Ian had a little shoulder surgery. He said he couldn't even get a shirt on. We told him we appreciate him not coming without the shirt. He'll get an update later. But we do thank you for scheduling this. I know it wasn't on the schedule originally for a December workshop, but we had time to talk about the EMS service and look at it, and we've talked to several of you individually about it, and certainly want to get discussion started and hopefully action started to help deal with some of the issues that we have. Y'all got a clicker, or you want a clicker? Middle button, okay. See if I can compile the technology here. There we go. How about that? One of the things that we've talked about previously in our discussions with billable runs, and if you'll notice the blue of the total runs that the ambulance service goes on each year from 2015 to 2019, and that's on a hospital physical year basis. Over that period, there's been about 11% increase in the total runs. The issue becomes the billable runs, and that's the orange bars on there. And they have been declining, and if you look at the percent of runs that are billable, it's gone from up in the 70% range down to the 65% range. And so that's an issue that you know, just you don't have revenue generated from billable runs. And so the more of those you have, the more expense we go to run the ambulance with no revenue coming back in. Someone asked, what is a billable run, or an unbillable, or a billable run? And in the case of a billable run, it's we put somebody in the ambulance and transport them to a hospital or a facility, so we can then charge for those. But the unbillables, it's just dead expense, no revenue. If we look at 2020 so far, which is not on this graph, but it looks like we'll have about a 2% increase over 2019 in total runs, and then the billable runs will remain steady at about 65%. So that gives you some idea of the action that's going on with the ambulance. This is a summary of our 2015 through 2019 and 5 months year to date of our fiscal year 2020 for the finances of the ambulance service. The major expense impactors have impacted the business by about $168,000 in salary, $37,000 in workers' comp insurance. Maintenance is up over $33,000. And contractual adjustments, which is the adjustments we make when the insurance company won't pay out all the charges. And so that's grown by $69,000. We've had a lot of overtime associated with people being off for family medical leave, and trying to fill those spots. And if you recall, a few weeks back, we had discussions about what was going on in Steenhatchee with covering all the ambulance shifts that were there. And so, you know, a lot of that gets covered with overtime. And we've made some changes that we hope will help draw people in. Our technicians that we hire, the EMTs, the folks that we put on the ambulance, they are very hard to come by with the rates that we can pay, with the area that we work in. Most of our folks are not local, and so they're traveling in to go. And if we can't at least be competitive in the area, it's hard to pull in people. We've changed some of the rates for the temporary people that we bring in, what we call flex EMT paramedics. And they we raise that rate a little bit, hopefully to be able to draw people in and cut down on the amount of overtime we're having to deal with. I think it was Pam that asked a question about what does the payer category summary look like when we met at the hospital. And, we didn't have that information right ahead of the time, but when you think about who's riding in the ambulance, it's almost 70% of the people on Medicare, Medicaid, and Medicare, Medicaid managed managed program. So Medicare is not known to be the best of payers when you get down to the rates that they will reimburse the hospital or any ambulance service for. The amount that we receive back from Medicare is about 37% of what we charge, what we think is a fair charge for ambulance. Pam, I have this, if you can give it to you if you like.
Second.
I said I have this summarized.
Oh, okay. Great, thank you.
Got enough all of us or just Pam?
I've just got one copy. We can make more copies for you.
Okay.
I'll share it with you.
And Bill, I think Tom may have some. 10% of our patients are riding ambulance, are self-paid, no insurance. And unfortunately, that's one of the major areas of getting money back from those people that we have to deal with. Overall, when you look at the reimbursement rates that the insurance company gives, as well as Medicare and Medicaid, we collect about 29 cents every dollar of service that we put out. So not a good payback, if you will. One of why anybody would want to be in the ambulance business, don't you? From that standpoint. So in these summaries, you can see over the period that we were gaining a little bit in 2015, 2016, 2017, and in 2018-19 we went into the red on our gain or loss for the ambulance operation. And this is a loaded cost to look at the operation. And so We project that based on what's happened the first 5 months, what we've lost already, lost $121,000, it would be well over $300,000 lost for the year. You know, those might cycle a little bit, but I don't think we'd be too far off.
If I can ask you a question, what happened beginning in 2018 to cause these numbers to change like this?
It's really the expenses have finally overcome. If you look, the expenses went from 1.4 up to 1.5 to 1.6,
1.7. But is that due to overtime or what?
Well, a combination of those things. I just summarized salaries, overtime, expenses for maintenance and ambulances, as we had previous discussions. The ambulances are old. Taking more and more money to keep them up. Then the contractual adjustments have increased. Those are the main areas. If you took a list in our expense categories, you'd see popping up. Any other questions on financial?
There are no purchases of equipment.
That is correct. There is no equipment purchases associated with this. This is all expense money going out the door.
Part of its maintenance trying to keep the old ambulances running.
Right. And going up. It's over. Last year was right at $60,000 for the year just to keep up with.
I hope we
survive this year without any major upsets there. But, yeah. So that's kind of the financial picture. It's not good. And so as the board, hospital board has met, talked about all the things we need to be doing to position the hospital to be survivable and be a real attribute for the county. We just came to the point we can't keep operating the EMS like it is. It's sooner or later will sink. It's kind of how our view is that the expected losses, a major part of the total loss of the hospital. So we thought, well, there's three paths that we can follow. And operators, the agreement is today, it appears to be the three paths of reducing service, increasing county support to make the MH whole and continue with a new agreement, or an amended agreement. We'd be more applicable if it's not a new agreement, but an amended agreement. And the other thing that we noted was that there are funds that have come to the county through the sale of the old hospital that we feel like should be given consideration to support the current hospital operation. So we ask that you think about that. And then the last thing we thought about was let's relinquish the operation back to the county, which I didn't see anyone when we met with it individually. No, that was a good idea. So, that's one, assuming we can be financially viable, we might can avoid that. Otherwise, we're not in a position where we could. So those were the things that we've been thinking about. We were asked to come back and say, what is it that we need to try to position this thing to be successful and continue operating in a more favorable position. And so we looked at the agreement that's in place that established back, I guess, in 2013, 2014 timeframe, and all about how it is we could maybe position this thing to work a little better. And agreement amendments that we would propose are Article 2.4, which is the annual subsidy. Now we're about $450,000 a year subsidy. And as you can see, we're already getting the subsidy included in the financials that are there. So, you know, we're going to fall short $300,000 this year. So that's the kind of range we're talking about when we could say adjust the subsidy so that we can be made whole in our operation. Article 2.5 deals with ownership of equipment and the fact that the ambulances do belong to the county and not the hospital. There's some wording in there we think that we want to put in place that would help with the idea of the county looking at the replacement of ambulances through the 1 cent sales tax that was originally set up to pay for the hospital. So,
we're going to stop in a minute. Now, as I recall, this board allocated for the hospital 25% share of the 1 cent sales tax.
That's correct.
And that could be used, I would think,
the one
that would be correct. Yeah. Buy new ambulances. That's not the outlay, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
So I don't know, you probably have 10 plans of what to do with that.
Oh, yeah.
25%.
Yes, if you remember, we had a list like this
like that.
Capital needs for the hospital. In addition to the ambulances, there's equipment that's basically out.
It's your projection is that somehow or other, somebody needs to come up with $300,000 extra above what we've already allocated. Or else, let me ask you this. In a hospital, you've got ambulances, and you've got outpatient services, you've got inpatient services, you've got home health care, and all these other. Is anything else losing to this extent, or is this your biggest loser?
No, this is like maybe second on the list.
Probably ER.
ERs
with the loss.
Yes. We don't have home health care anymore.
We closed that. We don't have that.
Right. That was a big loser for us. So rather. So we've been working, since we brought the line in, we've been working on some things to try to address those areas of the losers. Looking at how to deal with home health care is one example we got out of that. And there are other companies that have come in.
How has the census been running upstairs? The census.
Census is running about 6.5 to 7.
6.5 or yeah. 7 average per day.
Yeah, but we'll go from 13 to 5.
Two,
eight, or nine, down.
So up and down. Blue State. Blue State. There's a lot of staff right there, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Well, it's yeah. I mean, we're going to flex people in and out.
Yeah. I read an article just recently, maybe yesterday, but all over the country since 1990, I believe, there's been like 1,000 rural hospitals that actually had to close. They just had to close the door.
Exactly.
And I don't think we want that to happen in Taylor County. We need a hospital. We certainly need an ambulance care, whether you do it or whether a third-party provider provides it. I don't want to be without ambulance care in a local hospital.
Absolutely.
Now, it's hard to say we ought to just keep the ER open and the ambulance service. I don't know that you make any money upstairs because you've got a dietary department, you've got a pharmacist, you've got nurses and all that, and I want 6 or 7 patients. That's bound to be losing some money up there too.
Yeah.
But it's not every business to make a profit out there. This is we can break even.
Yeah.
Probably the best we can hope for.
Exactly. We would love to do that. We would love to say, hey, everything's covered.
Everything's covered.
And, No subsidies are required at that time. But the reality is we've got to change what we're doing, so that's what we've set out to do in July. We're working on some things for the ER at this point that we think can have a positive impact. Maybe get us back to break even there, we hope. You never know until you try those things. When I read the same article you read,
think about
parts of the country that have no prospects. Hundreds of miles to drive.
Yeah, I think most of their numbers came from the state of Iowa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty sparsely settled out there. Yeah. It's just like, we don't want this community not to have a good school system or school. The hospital is as important, I think.
Right.
We just got to figure out working together how to make it work.
That's what we're about, Malcolm, is how to make it work.
And you mentioned the sale of the old hospital. If I recall, that generated just a little over $300,000 in revenue. Is that right, Danielle?
It was $310,000.
$310,000. I didn't miss it too bad. Now, were this board to decide you could have $310,000, that's only going to fix your problem in 1 year.
Yeah. That's why we look at making amendments to the contract to deal with the balance of the time the contract's in place.
I don't have a magic answer, but one thing I will say, I won't vote for this board and this staff to take on ambulance service unless it's an absolute last resort. I'd rather you folks run it, or if it's less expensive, than a third party run it. Gotta have it.
Yeah. So amending the contract is one of the things we think that will help physicians to be successful there. And we have made a draft. I don't know if you want to go through that particular thing or not at this point. It, like most leaders said, it's needing lawyers to look at, and I'm sure be glad to look that over, but we put some language in amendment that we think would, position us to be made whole. That's all. We don't want to make a profit. We just want to go to the expenses to be able to survive. So y'all, Tom, we'll give those to you if you want to go through them again.
We've got time. I see we've got billable means. What you put out there, you can't collect back. What you put out
runs that we can bill.
Okay.
We can, if we go to an accident scene,
yes,
and there's nobody that's injured bad enough to bring back to the hospital, that's an unbillable run. And so our expense of going to wherever it is, we just need it. And if we go somewhere and the people say, hey, we don't want to go to the hospital, why don't you show up? We can't charge them for everything. So that's an unfillable run.
Okay. Then when you bring somebody back, what are your percentage of collection there?
On average, over the last 6 years, 29. Cents.
On the dollar.
On the dollar.
That it costs you to run, not what you spent.
Yes. I think in your copy there's a blue section 2.4 for the subsidy, and we're just asking there to be made whole. Balance of this year, it looks like the $300,000 loss is coming our way on the ambulance service. Then we want each year, based on calculations that we make at the end of the previous year, to kind of be a gauge as to how much the next year's subsidy should be, and then try to hold that to at least $450,000 a year.
Now, on the blue part, I'm maybe, I'm checking, I speak Harbor Blue is 2.4. You're asking for a monthly lease of $90,000 per month.
Yeah.
Now, 9 times 12 is 108. I still remember my monthly get to do. That's over $1 million.
Right. That's for the balance of the year.
That's for the balance.
If we get agreement on this, what we looked at the point we did this was it would take $90,000 such a month to cover that $300,000 and the normal $37,000.
And what's our subsidy now?
$450. Right.
Per year?
Per year. $37,500, I think it is.
Per month?
Yes.
So that's more than a $300,000 to make the total.
But it's only for part of the year.
This is only for the part of the year.
Yeah.
And then when the actual net cost is off to the zero, then our subsidies will be paid at 112 based on the previous year. So it could go up or it could go down.
It could go up or go down. We want a floor in there at 450.
Yeah. I'll let Mr. Bishop read this over before I make it.
Yeah. You'd want to bracket it. You'd want to bracket it. You know, I would not recommend to my client that you have an open end at the top. I wouldn't recommend that at all. If you understand what I'm saying. Because they're saying it can't go under something. Well, my position is it can't go over something.
Y'all been trying to figure out how you're gonna finance this, where you're gonna get the money from. I'm doing the same thing. Where are we gonna get the money from? Do y'all think we've got this kind of money?
Well, you know, I saw all the budgeting business going on this year.
Saw what?
I saw the budgeting activity going on this year. And, you know, sometimes we all have to make our decisions about where we put our money. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't presume to make those decisions for you, but I think hospital certainly is part of that. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear from our, at some point in time, hear from our finance director concerning this. Are we healthy enough that we can pay over $1 million a year? No? Okay. Y'all
want to
dump it on us, and I don't know who we can dump it on, except the citizen. Maybe we can have a special assessment and let the citizens pay for it, but I don't know where we're going to come up with this kind of money from.
I don't know. I could do a special assessment for a hospital. Can
you
come in?
You can't do that now.
I don't even want to think about this. I probably shouldn't even verbalize it. $1 million in Taylor County of taxes, ad valorem taxes. $1 million generates something over $1 million, right? Mm-hmm. So in essence, if it gets down, you know, have to have ambulance service. There's a mill that we can increase. And it's the worst thing you want to do is run for election in a year and you want to increase the millage by $1 million. But I throw that out there. That's something. But that was next year. It's got to help you this year.
As a taxpayer, we don't want to pay more.
We don't want to pay anymore.
But we want service. As a taxpayer, we want service.
Our employees all want a raise. They haven't had one in 3 or 4 or 5 years. So it's a difficult decision we make in budget time. We've got a fixed amount of money. And we've got to divide it up into what's fair and what's most important. And what's a high priority and a low priority.
Right.
And all I can say is one thing is, ambulance service has a high priority. Which leads me to my next question.
Yeah.
If it's given back to the county, and we would be the one who would go out and shop for a third party to run the ambulance service. Not you guys, right?
That's correct.
That's correct. We appreciate any help that you give us. So I don't know what the numbers are to make a comparison. Whether we enter into an agreement with DMX or we go look for a third party.
We've done a little from this, and of course let Conrad look at it, and we can have discussions back and forth on things. But in our thinking about the situation, we looked at, are there any third parties out there that would be interested in running the ambulance service? And we found two companies that did respond to our request to give us a proposal of what it might take to do that. The two companies are Lifeguard Ambulance Service and AmeriPro EMS. And AmeriPro EMS is a nationwide operation. I was watching a news story in California the other day, and they're going to be an AmeriPro ambulance. Mm-hmm. The thing that they do is they can come in and run the ambulance service for us. One of them said they would phase in new equipment right away on the front end of the contract. The other one said they would phase in equipment as the current equipment that we have wears out. So that's a positive that we could get new equipment without the county or the hospital having to actually expend capital money. You pay for that in the service, but you don't have to put that money out. Both of them have indicated that they could be operational in a 90-day period. If something happened, if you're in the, we asked, well, what if you had to come in a short period or something happened to the hospital and got to be able to go to the funk or something? But they said, they could have something on the ground within 30 days, get notification that they're in business. Both of them are willing to enter into multi-year contracts, which I think would be a real plus to have that kind of service. And then both indicate the cost of operation that they have projected is not significantly different from ours. The $1.5 million that you saw on the financial sheet for expenses is not significantly different than what they think they would experience in operating service. And both of them said that we'd require subsidies to cover the non-billable run.
They would require. Now, was there a reimbursement from Medicare and Medicaid and private payer and so forth?
They took our information about who we were carrying in the ambulance, how many we needed and all that, and did their calculations on what they thought they could recover in terms of billable activities. And both thought they could make a go with a subsidy.
From the county, I hope? Subsidy,
yeah,
from the county?
Yes. If we went to the point of saying, okay, the hospital would actually take on bringing in the third party provider, then it would come through us, but we'd still look to the county to provide the subsidy.
Either way, we got to subsidize.
Yes. So there are people there that could come in and run service. I know that when we talk, nobody was in favor of bringing it back to the county. None of you seem to have a stomach for that because of, I guess, previous experience or whatever it was.
I'm going to ask one more question, then I'm going to be quiet. Talk too much already. If DMX runs the ambulance service, and you've got a citizen out here who's unhappy with the service, one of the first people they call is their county commissioner. This whole ambulance and that old hospital, and we respond. And we contact the proper folks, and you all resolve. If you've got a third party out here, and his headquarters is in Cincinnati, Ohio, it won't do the citizen any good. We'd lose a little bit of political control, I think. That's something I've thought about. Who do you turn to? You know?
I suspect they would come the same way, wouldn't they? Yeah. They'd come at you, and you want us to go and...
Yeah, I want you to go up, fight their battle for them. Because we don't have that happen very often.
The one thing I will say about the deliberative discussions we have with both parties, they do have a system for collecting information about how people are being treated, how they're satisfied, not satisfied with the services they're rendering. So they do some PR work from that standpoint in their own countries.
Senator, I'm going to ask you more questions. Go ahead.
How much have y'all spent on overtime in that department in the past year? For the whole physical year, how much overtime did you spend?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I'll ask Tom. He might know that.
It averaged about 33%, and that's based on the way we staff.
How much is that?
I have to guess and look at that. That's 33%. I don't have the number right here.
Really? Right off now.
It's a fairly significant amount. There's obviously built-in overtime because of they're at a minimum they're on 48-hour work weeks. That's two shifts, so there's 8 hours. But based on our staffing, and especially from the paramedic side, we've averaged about four paramedics. At any given time that we're down.
Well, I know historically salaries is usually the most costly part of your operation, and if you have a retention problem, then that adds to it, and you have a lot of overtime. And the reason I'm asking this is I'm wondering if you could take a portion of that you spent on the overtime and hire people and enhance their base salary, then you may still come out ahead and maybe you have a better chance of keeping your paramedics. Because you're spending the money anyway, so why not put it into...
We've done some increases. It's still...
You've got to be competitive, though.
The pool is relatively small in this area. In fact, we bring in people from, some of them from Lincoln County, some of the people come in from out west and other places.
I know with one particular company that runs ambulance services, and they pay their staff well, and they do not have a retention problem, and they make money. Somehow
that another, third part?
They make money, yes.
That third part of operation.
Yeah.
In talking to the two different companies we talked to, they basically said our salaries are now pretty much in the range of what they're paying. They have a better outreach, and they do have one group is large in the state already, so they're able to pull people in out of their pool. The other one is one that has relocated, part of it has relocated out of Georgia into Duval County. And plans on outreaching farther out, and we're kind of their first step that we're looking at outreaching.
Well, if you look in terms of your salary cost and the overtime you're spending, and then you look at your maintenance fees of what you're spending to keep these worn out ambulances going, if you took part of the 25% of the sales tax money and got new equipment, new ambulances, and if your salaries are competitive, how would that picture look then?
Well, first of all, on the equipment, we are running on four old ambulances. The oldest is 2016, so at the very least, it would cost us somewhere between $500,000 and $700,000 to replace the ambulances.
How about a lease? Have you looked at, because we're currently leasing,
and they're pretty much
they run, the way they run are very different because of the miles. So the lease expenses are very expensive because at the end of 3 to 5 years, those ambulances aren't worth anything.
Is it, but what we, the deal that we've got, though, they're swapped out routinely. So you've always got a new vehicle. Yes, you've got that payment, but you've got the payment anyway if they're in the shop.
But we, the leases that we've been able to find aren't that way. They're extended lease, 3 to 5 years, 5 years most of them. And so they don't swap them out because it's just different.
The people that we work with, do they don't do ambulances?
It's typically heavy equipment.
And I know the sheriff came over one time and he was looking at vehicles for his department.
For fleet vehicles, yes, ma'am. I haven't seen where ambulances are a part of either one of these lease programs.
How about fire trucks?
Well, the fire truck that we have is a lease purchase. So it's set up, I mean, it's called a lease, but we will own the fire truck at the end of the term.
Just seeing a lot of the... There's not a huge resale market on versus the heavy equipment that we just got. That one has more of a resale market, so when it gets turned back in, they can turn around and sell it out. And you really don't have that in emergency services. Like I said, most of the time we see leases in emergency services to do that.
We'll put as much as 100,000 miles on an ambulance.
Yeah, I'm just trying to turn over as many rocks as I can.
We've turned over a lot of those rocks, and basically come up. Where you know the cost, you're probably better off to buy than you are to lease.
See, if you've turned over all the rocks and you don't have an answer, and we turn over all the rocks and we don't have an answer, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, this is very difficult.
It's just like running around and chasing your tail. As soon as you fix one thing, something else happens.
That's if we why sold the hospital. You know, I guess that would be a possibility too. And, you know, I'm sure that some of the rural communities have sold their hospitals to bigger corporations that have that money. I wonder if that's an option. All I want is I don't care who owns it, who runs it. I just want to make sure that we've got a good hospital and that we've got a good ambulance if I need it or you need it or anybody else needs it. I don't care who owns it.
You know, like Pat said, one of the reasons we went out and looked was... One of the reasons we looked at the third parties was so that we would know realistically whether our expenses are pretty much in line mm-hmm. with the major corporation they were. How they break out might be a little bit different. The other was is that... they have advantages in that they, if you're down two or three people, they can always bring two or three people in from somewhere else. And so, you know, it's not this suddenly you have a hole and you just can't fill that hole because you're lucky to fill the positions you have. But like we have over the last 6 or 7 months, we've had three people out on the FMLA. And that's a significant amount of our paramedics. You know, they also have the ability to bring equipment in and out and pull some other places.
Yeah. What it just hasn't worked.
Hasn't worked. No. And I, like I mentioned before, I serve on the statewide EMS council and as a representative for the Florida Hospital Association. And our story is no different than all the other small rural communities. Our director was talking to somebody in Liberty County, and they barely can keep their ambulances running, and they dropped down where they originally had two ambulances that were paramedic and EMT. They dropped down to only one as a paramedic, because a paramedic on it, the other is just two EMTs. Again, it's the fact of hard to find. You know, you talked about raises. I don't think the hospital employees have had raises in 6 years. And there's no pension fund. And that's probably the small communities around that are governmental have the advantage that they have a pension fund, that you're mandated to have a pension fund.
You know, you're lucky that you have some of those people that have stayed there through thick and thin. And that's one thing when I think about if we sold the hospital, if it could be done in such a way that those employees that have been so faithful to stick through this thing, that they would have more security.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need the security of having a hospital, but those employees, those dedicated employees, need that security to right. know I'm going to get a paycheck next week, I'm going to get a paycheck next month, and I'm going to get a paycheck the month after. And I think I've already asked you this one time, but I'm going to ask you again. If the ambulance service was taken care of, now, you know, I know y'all have been up here before us plenty of times before when you were in the ditch. So if you didn't have to worry about the ambulance service, everything would be hunky-dory?
No,
that'd be good, right?
It's just one of the many problems. I mean, to be absolutely honest, in healthcare, there's no guarantee you couldn't be back up here again.
I think
what Pat's comment about the third party does is we would be able, or you would be able, to negotiate a contract that would have some term to it and some kind of guarantee to it. I think the other aspect of it is that's the business they're in. Logically, they can probably do better at collections. As a private organization, they do have some advantages in billing and collecting some things that we can't. We're hospital-based, and hospital-based, like under Medicare, is limited to what Medicare pays under a hospital base. So there are some financial restrictions that we have that are unique in that regard. Our Medicaid rate is based on our Medicaid contract, which is somewhere around $130, and Medicare is around $400. They're not stuck in those contractual arrangements necessarily that we are, because we contract to provide acute care and outpatient care. The ambulance falls under that. They're out there contracting as an ambulance service.
Pat, it's a grim picture.
It is. And what y'all face, making decisions about where money goes, where money stays, how it's spent, how we collect it, go up on taxes. It's very, very difficult. I understand where you're heading.
It's just like reading between a rock and a hard place.
And certainly the idea of selling the hospital is one that's an option. In my opinion, sell the hospital might be just the right thing for the whole situation. But back to how do we maintain some control of what's going on? Because an individual corporation can come in and sit by it and decide, well, it's really a one-time
and anything could happen. Sure. We know that. And at some point in time, we can't worry about controlling.
Right.
It's been controlled for a long time now, and it's not working. My objective is just, again, to know that this community has good health care, that we have an ambulance that's not going to break down on 19, and that those dedicated employees out there have the security to know that they're going to have a paycheck. And taking a risk and losing a little control and hopefully get a good fire, I'm all for it.
I think all of those options are on the table. That they really are. I think that the one thing that I would note is most of the bigger corporations are not going into small rural communities because they know they're high liabilities.
Well, you've got Tallahassee that's already involved here.
Right.
They stayed here for some reason.
Right, they have, and I think it's because that's the referral base and that they're willing to put some money into the hospital, put some money on it.
Maybe they would be interested in the whole thing then.
You'd have to ask them, but I don't think that's it.
Never know.
Come forward.
We're not here to talk about selling the hospital. We're here to talk about EMS services. So let's go. Because what's about to happen is we're going to have another workshop. In another workshop, in another workshop.
What's happening here is that we're trying to figure out the whole thing. EMS goes with the hospital.
No, it does not.
So,
well,
then, If we took the EMS, you still got the problem of running the hospital.
I'm just looking
for solutions so everybody can be happy.
But right now, the hospital is supplementing the EMS services. Right now, and they have been for years. The hospital is making up the difference that the county is not paying.
That's the agreement that the hospital went into.
I understand that. And these two, I have not seen any of these numbers on whoever they talked to about contracting. I can tell you that the last year, the county ran the ambulance service. The county lost $1 million, and that's been before
about 12, 13
years. That's why we don't want it, because we can't run it.
And if you just look at 2018, if they say they could run it the same cost, I got a bridge to sell it. It won't happen. What they're doing is just trying to draw it in. There's no equipment purchases in these numbers. And they're going to buy, one new ambulance. Somehow, they've got to recover their money.
Right.
And it won't be under the same conditions that we're under now. It'll be a substantial subsidy. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, and you may want to get the contract to check this out, I think by statute, the county is responsible for the EMS service in the state of Florida.
We are.
We're absolutely right. That's an easy one.
But we went into some kind of agreement for some reason, I think I know why. And here we are.
I know. It's
in fact, when the new hospital was built,
You remember
all that? They're going to provide EMS services across the county. And then it gradually changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't speak to that.
I would
never volunteer to run EMS.
I said I wouldn't ask another question dramatically. Several months ago, maybe 6 months ago, Edison Press article in some publicity about some other firm that you have gotten involved with over from West Florida come in and help us. What happened to that?
The management agreement with Alliant?
It's still going on. I mean, we're...
Have they brought anything to it?
Yeah, we're getting ready to bring on 340B, which is a governmental pharmacy program and outreach. That should hopefully bring in... we're just not sure it can go anywhere from $200,000 to $300,000 to $500,000 a year when the program's up and running. That's their estimates. It's based on prescriptions prescribed by our rural health clinics, and we have three.
$300,000 to $400,000 that you won't be losing. You can transfer that over to about the ambulance part of it.
Well, we need $300,000 to $400,000.
You need that plug another hole somewhere else.
Right. I mean, it goes back to the EMS is really not ultimately the responsibility of the hospital. It's the responsibility of the county. And we are, we're interested in running it as long as we don't pull funds that we could use in other areas to because basically, an ER is another one. I mean, we can't have a hospital without an ER by Florida statute, but alone, that probably loses we're looking at doing contracting for the physicians now. We're losing probably anywhere from $350,000 to $500,000 a year on the reimbursement just on the physician side to run the ER. We break even or make a little money on the other side, but the physician component is a huge amount of money.
The ER and ambulance service were
probably two of the biggest.
What's the time frame before you have to close them? Right now,
well, if you look at what we had in the bank today, we're less than $200,000 of cash. We ran out of cash and went belly up. It could be short term. We don't think that's the case, but
certainly we're concerned about the cash flow in the hospital.
We're running on just basically maybe one payroll ahead and one behind that one. Now the other part of that though is our accounts payable is have been kept relatively low. Right now it's a little higher, but we have the health insurance coming up, and that's $120,000 a month is what our health insurance premium is. So you know, it's not like we're running 60, 80, 90, 120 days. It's usually between 30 to 60 days most of the time.
Yeah, but I think it's something you got to be handled pretty quick.
We don't need to tear around the shoe rod. We don't need to tear it at all.
And we can't make a decision on that, but right. As far as that money we got out of the hospital, personally, I would be, give my part of that money as one of the commissioners to keep the thing going. I think we need ambulance workers. I think we need to do something here pretty quick to keep this thing rolling. What did you say the new ambulances would cost in a year? You bought new ambulances?
The ones we priced are a couple $100,000.
Yeah, $100,000
outfitted.
The last one we bought was over $200,000 with the discounts.
In other words, you need to have $1 million worth of ambulances right now and equipment to get up to speed where you can keep going.
That's if we were to replace all three of them and some other equipment. We could probably
replace all of them.
Yes, the other is that we do, I did sign grant requests through the state for ambulances, although we found out that since we're not a county, we may not qualify for the 10% match. And hopefully, we qualify for the 25% match. So we're attempting to do, we're asking for two ambulances from the same program. And then we have other equipment like our defibrillators and other things that are all coming to the end of life.
In other words, if we could come up with some money to keep you out of jail right now, all you'd be doing is putting all coal in the hole anyway.
Yes, unless there's some opportunity with a third party, we just got to keep looking at those kind of things. Figure out where the best spot to be. We certainly would appreciate any consideration you give to move forward with the amendments on the contract, helping us at least stay whole in the situation.
Well, I want to thank y'all for what you do, and I know the board members, it's not easy for y'all, none of y'all. And I'm not at the hospital. I'm not here to sugarcoat either. We got to get down to the brass tacks and try to figure out what we're going to do. I know what we're limited on, so. But I appreciate y'all being here. I appreciate your service, what you do.
We appreciate your consideration. You got questions?
I would like to say that y'all have to do a heck of a job of what you got to do it with. My hat's off to you. If you was giving real buys every night, $100,000 all apiece for salary, that would be great, but it's not there. The service you give, my hat's off to you. You give a kudo to me. Now, you can take that dollar and you might get a cup of coffee at McDonald's somewhere.
But it'd be a good cup of coffee.
Yeah. But continue, we will remember.
Right.
I will remember.
That's right.
One of the things, if I may, just one thing, when you start talking about third party, I'd sure like to know how y'all, if y'all do, vet how they collect. And because they're not going to go into the business if they're not collecting better than y'all are.
Right.
So how are they doing?
There would be a lot of work done to put something in place with third party. These were just very cursory discussions.
Obviously, they're both. One is a huge regional, and the other one is a national, so they have their own billing services, and they know all the games that make it a little harder for us, even when we send stuff out. So,
they got to be getting the money.
They get their money.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other is companies like that don't
don't hesitate. They go all the way to put liens on things and other things.
At one time, many times ago when I was a young lawyer, I did that for the hospital.
Right.
Long time ago. Sent out letters, sued them. Really?
What?
Charged $5 a letter.
Well, inflation's hitting that deal.
You'll probably get you to write about 300 letters right now.
I'll do it.
Thank you. I appreciate your time very much.
Thank you.